Hey, and welcome to another episode of Single Mommy Fabulous. It is now season two, and we are talking about, I know, I'm so excited, and we're talking about Princess Problems. We have missed being with you all, and we decided to do a fun episode for once. Well, we're always fun, but you know. We just thought this was a great topic. And no, we will not be talking about Meghan Markle. Sorry. So if you came on here for that, we aren't the right place for you.
Yeah, not that
princess. Not that princess. So we're going to talk about our favorite princesses. And of course, Disney kind of cornered the market on princesses. It's not the only place we see princesses, but as mothers of daughters, it does give us a little pause and a little bit to think about when we talk about princesses and their effect on our children's well-being, their mental health, their growth. So Adrian and I are going to talk to you about what we think about princesses and what experts think about princesses, and then we're going to disagree with the experts. So, you know, right. That's how it roll. That's how we roll. So, Adrian, I know we talked a lot the other day when we came up with this this subject, but tell me a little bit, because we really didn't get into specifics. Tell me a little bit about how you view princesses and just the princess culture, I guess we could call it.
I think that being a princess is kind of fun, you know, like it's, you know, it's all make-believe, right? So I think it's just kind of like a fun thing to do or to kind of believe or think about or whatever. I was never that kid, really, that was like totally into the princesses. I loved watching the princess movies, you know, growing up, for sure. But I never felt like I wanted to be them. But that's, you know, like we talked about before, that could be because of my mom and like how she sort of was about princesses. but yeah, it just feels like
it's like my mom thing. Was about Kris Kringle.
Right. So, you know, but it just seems fun. Like it just seems like it's just dress up, you know, like play. Like it's just not, I mean, I don't take it that serious. I know some people do kind of take it that seriously, but I don't. I think it's just fun. I think it's fun.
Yeah, I think, you know, I do know people who have strong opinions about not letting their daughters watch princess movies and how princesses are a problem and so on and so forth. And like you, I see it more as a make-believe world where things happen that are magical that don't happen every day. But I don't think that there is this drive in me to be a princess,
right.
Or ever was a drive to be a princess. I watch Hallmark Channel like religiously, and they still are feeding me princess movies. So, you know, you go to some weird European country, of course, and you become the princess of Rakatusha, and you know, it just the way it is, you know, you go over there as a reporter and turn out to be a princess, and I'm like, okay, this is some make-believe crap. But
yeah, those are cheesy.
It's so cheesy,
but it's still fun though, right?
Right, because who doesn't want to go to a ball, right? Who doesn't want to wear a big fat dress? I mean, I know there are people out there, but the idea of being beautiful for a day and going to some enchanted ball has always been something I want to do. Like, yeah. I still want to go to the black and white ball that they have for the opera here in San Francisco back in the day. But, you know, COVID. So right. Someday I'll make it to that because, yes, I want my princess moment, which has nothing to do with being an actual princess. And right. I think that, like you, we talked about our moms are cut from the same bolt of cloth, right? So my mom was kind of like, Princess Schminces, you know, you're going to be strong and you're going to do it. And this is, you know, being that she was a single mother, it was all on her. So there was no man rescuing her ever.
Right.
So I never got the idea that princesses were real, probably in that sense, in the first place.
Right. Yep.
So, you know.
Yeah, my mom was like that too. My mom was very, she didn't like us watching them, but she let us. Mm-hmm. But the whole time that we'd be watching, she'd be like, I don't know why you want to watch this mess. You know it's not real. You know nobody's going to come and sweep you off your feet and save you. And nobody's going to come, da da da. You know what I mean? Like every time she would like walk back and forth, you know, out of the room. But she would say something like that. She'd be like, oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah,
you know, but it's she like let us watch, but as long as we were very clear that princes are not real, that was her thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I found very fascinating about, especially one of the articles that I was reading, was they said that it has a negative effect on girls, but a positive effect on men or boys, because they see men being softer, and I'm like. So it's okay for them. It's not okay for us. It's okay for them to see softer men, and it's not okay for us to embrace our femininity.
Right. Really?
How is that harmful? I mean, I get it. And no, I don't. I'm not going to lie to the listeners. I don't freaking get it. I believe that there is a part of us that needs to be feminine, you know, if that's within our personality. So
right.
The idea that a princess has a huge effect on a child, in my opinion, is it's about as much as them watching superhero movies or anything else, in my opinion. You know, like childhood is about wonder and magic and things that don't really happen. I mean, I'm looking right. at all of the movies that we've bought since my niece was a child. And we have an entire Disney library. Oh, look, I found Pocahontas after I thought I didn't have it. But we love this. This is, I mean, especially now, my mom, of course, when she was teaching me who to be or how to live, mm-hmm. princesses were dumb. But the grandkids, man, you know, princesses are cool. And when I go to the Disney store, I'm going to buy you a princess outfit. And there was no problem.
Right.
I think it's very interesting to watch the difference between a parent teaching their child how to navigate the world and a grandparent teaching their grandchildren how to navigate the world, because they actually let them believe in make-believe and let them yes. enjoy make-believe, yes. which I find very interesting. It's very interesting.
It is very interesting.
And I think the point that I like the best was in one article, they said, one of the parents said, what are you doing? Looking for problems? Like, are you like scouring to look for problems? And like Adrian and I have said, yes, many of these princess movies, especially Disney, who has a long history of princess movies, are problematic. Yeah. We aren't denying that there are some problems in the way that men, women, people of color, everybody was portrayed in all mm-hmm. of the early movies. There were huge issues.
Absolutely.
You know, but I don't know. I'm still trying to incorporate and embrace what they said, just in case I see something that's problematic for my child. But mm-hmm. I am having a hard time being like, I never want her to watch a princess movie. And I just let her play a princess in the Peter Pan Foundation. They recently do, or they always do, a spring show called Wish Upon a Star. Yeah. And my little girl played Moana this year and sang her little heart out. And, aww. You know, it's, you know, virtual, and we'll see in May what it comes out like. But I love the story that the Peter Pan Foundation tells. I can't give it away because it hasn't been released, but tickets are going on sale soon. And I am super excited. I have to tell you, one of the most magnificent things I think about that foundation in particular is that they encourage people to play who they want to play or what they want to play. So as a woman, I could play Sebastian because I love The Little Mermaid and I love Sebastian. And whether or not Kiss the Girl is problematic, I don't think it is, but okay, I've heard it is. I love that damn song. So if I was going to do it, that was what I was going to audition as, because at that foundation, you can, and men can play women and women can play men, and your color doesn't matter. And I love that philosophy because it's one of the things that was pointed out in these articles is that it gives kids, and I don't know necessarily if it's only kids outside of the United States, because they were focusing on Fiji and a couple of other places in the world, India, I think, where they showed princesses, including Mulan and Jasmine. And yet these children thought that they were white and that they were American, right? Despite the fact Disney tried really hard to incorporate other cultures in those movies. So I can see where that reminds me of another study where Black children were handed dolls, little Black girls were handed dolls, and they usually put down the doll that looked like them and they picked up the white doll. And I get that. There's some of that just comes down to everyday problems that we all have with racism and colorism and so forth. So I don't necessarily, I don't even see that as problematic in and of itself. I think it's culturally problematic for all of us in general. I digress, you know.
As we always do, it's no big deal.
Yeah, right. I just, you know, sometimes stop going looking for a damn fight, right? Like, that's my thing.
I think that with some of these things, and like we talked about before, I think Pocahontas is the only exception. But I think for the rest of the princesses, especially prior to Jasmine, I think it's important to, number one, take them with a grain of salt. Number two, think of the time period these things were written in. You know, Snow White came out in what, 1930 something?
Yeah.
Somewhere around The Wizard of Oz. It was like right in the same time period, right? Depression. It's written about old world Europe. You know what I mean? Like, take that into consideration.
Right.
You know what I mean? Times were very different back then, you know, and they wrote it to represent the time they were going after, right? So like, keep that in mind. Keep in mind that it's fantasy. Keep in mind that it's playful. You know what I mean? Like, if you keep all of these things in mind, you know, and also when you're watching it with your kids, you know, you could totally explain like, okay, this, not only is this not real life, but it's fun to watch, you know, but also, hey, back in these days, this is what people did. This is the thing. Like, back in those days, you know, the best a woman could do was to hope to get married.
Right.
And that's true, right? Like, that, it's true.
You can't.
Even
you
though
can't,
we don't like to see it, but that literally actually happened. And so these Disney movies are not, you know, showing something that's not accurate. Like I said, except Pocahontas. That's a whole nother animal. That's like a 5-part series.
That's like a 20-part series, but absolutely. I mean, I can remember the story of my mom and her wanting to be a nurse and being told, oh, you can't be a nurse for whatever reason. I mean, and this was the 60s. So you really do get a time capsule in many of these movies. I watched... Was it Snow? What's the one with the dragon that scares the crap out of me?
That is my absolute favorite, Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty. Damn it. That first of all, that dragon gave me a nightmare.
It's glorious. All right.
I'm still pissed off at that damn freaking.
Well, you know what?
I don't like that dragon.
They should have invited her to the birthday party. Okay. That's all she wanted. Yeah. Like, the invitation to the stupid birthday party. And they left her out on purpose because they thought she was going to curse the baby, which she probably would have. That's not the point. The point is, You invited everybody in the kingdom except Maleficent, and you expect her to be nice? No, right. She's turning into a dragon and she's blowing you all up. How about that?
Well, sorry. No, I get you. No, I got you. Like, and you probably watched Maleficent. I have not, because I was so mad at that damn dragon. I told you that dragon gave me nightmares.
I don't believe you know. And, in Maleficent. I don't think the dragon is in Maleficent.
Girl, I can't. I walked in the room. My mom was watching Maleficent. I saw it. It looked dark. I said, out. Peace. Gotta go. Not even going to give this a second thought right now. I'm like, I'm out of here. I have not to this day seen Maleficent nor its sequel. And I will tell you right now, I don't want any anxiety over some stupid ass dragon from when I was a kid. So I probably won't watch it anyway. That's just not going to be the way my life goes down. Sorry. Cause
hey, it's okay. Know. That is your choice.
Yeah, well, you know,
I'll watch it for you.
Okay, cool. We're good. And so, you know, I was going to talk about, I think we talked a little bit about this, you know, the body types of these princesses in this time capsule. Let's go back to using, I'm going to use Disney movies as a time capsule because I feel that they are.
They really are.
There were the, you know, women were a size 16, you know, that was the average size. I think it still is, or 12 or something. So they were, you know, the ideal body was round and big chests and, you know, little waist and, you know, big butt and all the, I mean, we do see some of that body dysmorphia in these films. I don't think that doesn't exist. I mean, where was Snow White's waist? For real. That chick had no waist.
Cinderella, Aurora.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were teeny. You know what, to me, honestly, I think the most realistic princess probably was what's her face in Tangled.
Oh, God. What the heck is her name?
What's her name?
The girl with the long hair.
Rapunzel.
Yes, that's her name. We have problems.
I think she was the most, and maybe Merida too.
Yeah.
I think they were the most realistic looking, but I think just because they were they're young, you know, what's her face? Rapunzel, she was only like 18. So she should be that small.
Yeah.
You know, and the same with Merida. Yeah. Merida's tiny. She wasn't even, she was probably like 16, I think.
I think, so Merida was 16 and Ariel was a mermaid. I don't care. She's still my favorite.
Ariel makes sense because she was 16.
She was 16 and she was young. And you see the newer characters like Moana, who has a sturdier frame, and Tiana even looks a little more filled out than before. And I also think it's the animation, the way that things are animated today. You don't take two squares or triangles. I always think of them as triangles, like top triangle pointing down and the bottom triangle pointing up. And then that's where the waist is. Right. And then you put a little belt and then that's, there you go. So,
right.
I mean, seriously.
That's what it looks like.
Especially Cinderella. I don't even know how to draw, but that's how I feel like it looks. Okay.
Oh my God.
But you know, I just can't. It is. It's meh.
I know.
I don't. And they keep trying to push these, like, does it define the standard of beauty, these princesses? No. I mean, not for me. And I think that, like you said, you have to have those conversations with your kids. I know that these movies make great babysitters. There is music, there's dancing, there's beautiful color, and our children love them, right? And this is a thread that runs throughout children's movies. The children movies that are mostly popular have music. Look, get Trolls. Trolls has music. You know, so music gets into the kid's soul and kind of gets them moving and whatever. You know, I heard Let It Go 582 times back in the day.
Girl.
I know. Olivia used to try to make the your girls say your girl sing it with Marcy. Yes. I remember because she was obsessed. yeah, no. So.
Man, her and 10 million other little girls.
Oh, gosh. Dude, when she put on my wig at like 3 and started singing Let It Go, I nearly lost my shit. That was hilarious. I loved it so much. I still look at that video and go, one, this little chick could sing for a 3-year-old. 2, how cute are you? Like, literally, how cute are you? Like, there's nothing cuter than a little person and in their little cute outfit and singing their little hearts out. You know, I don't need, you know, then we can always get into pageants and then then everything ends. There's no princesses in pageants. Okay. No. I can't with pageants.
That's a whole nother. But oh my God.
Yeah. That's over here. We're talking about princesses that aren't real. Okay.
Right. Clear distinction, guys.
Clear distinction. I think that if you're trying to make your child emulate a princess, you and your child have problems now. That is a guaranteed issue.
You know, and I know here, in my house, you know, because even Isaiah, he watched princess movies. Like, he loved them. He loved them all. Mm-hmm. And Sleeping Beauty was a favorite not Sleeping Beauty, I'm sorry. That's my favorite. Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
Was a favorite for a while. And then Pocahontas became his favorite. And that's, like I said, we had to table Pocahontas because that's a whole other conversation.
He's coming on for that discussion. We're going to have an entire conversation about how Pocahontas needs a new movie.
Yeah, he'll be... Well, you know what? He would probably argue against that.
That's okay. Because, yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be a Disney movie. I just feel needs a different movie.
She does need a movie.
She needs a movie.
But how we watch TV, especially when the kids were little, you know, like toddler, we would watch it the first time, just whatever. We're just watching it. But every time after that, you know, I would be like the commentator of the movie. So we go through, like, I remember it happening with Cinderella and Clea. But Clea, you know, she can be observant when she wants to be. And so I remember we were watching it. I let her just watch it the first time. I didn't say anything. The second time we watched it, you know, we're going through and I would just say stuff like, dang, like the stepsisters. I'd be like, dang, they're mean. And then she'd be like, yeah, why are they treating her like that? And then I, well, you know, because they don't want her to like, they don't want people to like her and they don't want her to like have fun and they don't want her to be like a cool person and go see the prince and whatever. And then she'd be like, oh, that's hecka mean. And then she would like point out her own things that she notices in the movie. Like, hey, mommy, like, why are these mice talking? Mice don't talk. Okay. You're right. They don't talk, but they talk in Cinderella because it's pretend. It's make-believe, you know? And then just to, like, prompt them to see, like, yeah, we're watching it for fun, and it is fun. But there are things in here that we can notice about what's happening, you know what I mean? Because some of this stuff really is real life. There are people that are going to be mean to you for absolutely no reason. Just because you are who you are, they're going to be mean to you. Like, that's something we can take in our lives and understand, right? So, like, that's kind of how we like do TV. And I'll talk the whole thing and they get mad at me and they'll be like, shut up. No, I'm not gonna shut up. We're gonna talk about it, you know? Cause it's like, I want them to internalize the movie in a way that makes sense and can still be fun. You know, it's like, I don't want to take the fun part away, but it's like, we got to talk about some of the stuff that's happened because I don't want it to go over your head. you know, like we got to talk about some of it. And then the rest is whatever. You can just have fun, whatever. It's a good movie.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's interesting that you brought up Cinderella, because I've thought about how her story is told and retold in so many different ways. And even as its original movie, it was a story of abuse, really, you know, and, you know, losing your parent. I really have a problem with frickin' Disney and its patricide. I mean, I knew I grew up without a dad, but damn, did you have to kill every pop in the world? That's like, I mean, there was a few left. Mothers were always dead. So that wasn't even going to happen, but he killed off a lot of dads. and I was like, damn, what's up with that? But, you know, so Cinderella really does have a message, and a lot of them do actually, when you think about it, they have a message. I feel like when we talked about Belle and Beauty and the Beast and her, like, hey, you know, Gaston, cool, man, I don't want to be bothered with you. I want to go and I want to get another book and I want to read it, even though I've read it before, but it's more interesting than your lame lines.
Right.
So right. I, you know, I feel like she was somewhat, you know, asserting her power. And I loved that about her. Belle was very powerful as a woman. She wasn't interested in the Beast. That fool just kept pursuing her. So, you know, she was like, damn, big dress ball. Got it. Let's go. You know, so, hey, no fault on her. You're allowed to fall in love.
Right. The cool thing about Belle, though, is that it wasn't her intention.
Exactly.
You know, and she wasn't. And the same with Aurora, because Aurora wasn't really, she was out in the woods. Like,
yeah,
all she knew was the fairy. She didn't know nothing about no man. She wasn't worried about that. She was picking berries. Right. Like, yeah.
Then this fool comes by.
Then she's like, oh,
yeah,
this is what's out here in the woods.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I think that's what's hilarious. I think that you can see it in two ways, because you're talking about older movies where most people see the woman had to be rescued. And she had no other purpose in the movie. And clearly that's not true in all of the movies. Some of them, yes, there's absolutely a Rapunzel, the original way it was taught, told. The original story, she was just locked up, couldn't get out of the tower and needed a man to rescue her. I hated that. When they did Tangled, I was thrilled, because this was no girl stuck in a, you know, she was stuck there again, abuse. This woman had convinced her not to go out of the damn house, you know, but she was a rebel and she was like, you know what? I'm finally coming of age. I want to be my own self and my mom's not going to tell me not to. I'm going to do what I want to do. Right. So I think that was a positive message as well, because she's like, I'm done being abused. Not that she even thought, what's interesting is these kids never think they're being abused. They just think they're being mean.
They think it's normal. Yeah.
But I also think that ties into real abuse. When you think about it, a lot of people who are abused don't necessarily think it's abuse. Mm-hmm. Or they're trying to fix it. So, you know, hey, there is a lot to talk about when you watch these movies.
And that's why I don't shut up like during because it's like, no, we're not going to unpack it all in one sitting.
Yeah.
But every time we watch it, we're going to talk about something else, because they're packed, especially as it, you know, later and later it goes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like after, I would say like after Tiana, like there's so all the things that's in Moana alone. Man, I mean, like there's so much.
And she's a badass. I mean, come on. Like she didn't need a man. She only half needed the demigod, cause he's an idiot and she needed to figure out where she needed to go. And he did. Sorry, Maui. I love you. One of the things I loved is that she didn't fall in love with Maui. She didn't fall in love with anybody. Yes.
Right.
this was a princess story about a strong woman who saved her people and saved her land. Great. Love it. Right. Beautiful. When you talk about, even though Ariel is my favorite because I was a hard-headed badass, and just like her and wouldn't listen, you can talk about the fact that she's bad and doesn't listen to her parents, right? You know, and yep. that it gets her into trouble. And you can take such a different view of princess movies other than they're pretty and they want to be saved. And I think that when you do that, like you talk about it, I talk about it. When you're doing that and still allowing them to believe in the magic, yeah. you know, as they're young, you're doing them a favor. You know, yeah. we all need to escape. That's why I watch the damn Hallmark Channel. You don't see me watching LMN because they're going to kill somebody. I ain't got time for that. I'll see a freaking fake princess in a fake country in Nova Scotia. I don't care. You know what I'm right. saying? Like, please right. take me there instead of the where the woman's getting abused and staying there until she murders her husband right. and burns him or in like the bed. I ain't got time for that.
The deadly babysitter.
Right.
Something, you know.
You know, or somebody's trying to take your man. I'm like, damn, dude.
Right.
Give me a princess. Maybe any princess will do. Thank you very much. But I think this is great. But what I wanted to address, and this is where I disagree with the people that wrote this article about mm-hmm. what princes and princesses are teaching our children. They went into this mental health spiral. And I was like, whoa. Mm. Where did this come from? They were saying that for some children, and I'm sure it does, or they feel like it brings on generalized anxiety disorder from having to be perfect, feel of failure and not meeting expectations. All right, let's go back to Moana.
Let's talk about it.
She failed. She would get thrown off the boat. The water would help her get back on. Maui tricked her ass. And she was stuck on the island for a hot minute. She left her island. Her grandmother died. You know, I mean, there were a lot of failures in Moana, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm trying to think of a movie back in the day that might be legitimately, who else failed? Well, Ariel failed too, because she would get herself into trouble and get in trouble with her father. And I think that it was good to show a child disobeying and getting in trouble for disobeying, even though in the end she got what she wanted. Yeah. But it did also take some negotiation with her father and, right. you know, whatever. Major depression. I don't get it. Feeling worthless, inadequate, and not capable based on expectations. I feel like these are things that manifest, but I don't know if that comes from the movie only. Let me just be clear. All entertainment has the ability to affect you mentally. Okay. Sure. Like, let's take Do the Right Thing and how pissed off I was in 1991 when that movie came out.
Right.
But it was momentary. I don't think that it gave me something to think about. I don't know that a movie has or entertainment has ever made me feel inadequate unless I was already feeling inadequate.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say. It's a part of a whole, right? So mm-hmm. you can't just take one movie or one, I guess, genre of movies and be like, oh, well, this makes people feel insecure. Well, it can help that along, right? But if there are already other things in the kid's life to make them feel insecure, like if they have an overbearing parent, which people love to overlook, right? Mm-hmm. If you have an overbearing parent or a domineering parent
mm-hmm.
or just a straight up abusive parent, that'll do it. If all of the media that you're looking at emphasizes a certain type of beauty
mm-hmm.
as a whole, so the princess mm-hmm. movies, you know, whatever TV show or whatever, right? Like all of that together, like if that's just your world, that all you're seeing is a certain type of person that's supposed to be beautiful. I know I dealt with that growing up. Let's call it what it is. You know, you're only seeing white people on TV and being told that that's beautiful and never seeing anyone that looked like you and being said that that's beautiful too. You know, that breeds insecurity, right? But it's like all of these things together. It's not just one thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And to kind of frame it that way is not fair. And so, and that's another reason why it's very important to watch TV, watch movies, watch videos with your children. Don't just let them be off by themselves and watching the, I mean, maybe at a point, but not until you've had a conversation with them about what you're seeing in the content. Like, don't just, because it's not, you can't do that. There's some things maybe, but there's not much media that you can just let your kids watch on their own and assume that they'll internalize it the way that you think that they will. Because you have no idea how they're going to internalize it. You as a parent have to guide that conversation.
Correct.
And, you know, guide them to internalizing it in a particular, like you have to frame it a certain way, like the way that you want them to internalize it, right? Like they're not always going to get that on their own. They're kids, you know, and we've had how many years of experience, whatever, right? So it's like, we can do that. That's our job, you know? So it's like,
that is our job.
Yeah, like, and that, it totally could happen. I think it's happened to any of us about something where we felt insecure and then we watched a movie and it makes it worse. Like, of course, right? But, you know, and as crazy as my mother was, I shouldn't say crazy, but I don't know what else, what other word to use. And she knows that
she was
that
very
her,
so. Expressive.
Yeah.
Your mother is very expressive.
She's very expressive. And and she was very angry about it, you know, but we had the conversation, even though it wasn't like in a loving way, but we had the conversation like, when you're watching this, understand this about what you're watching. You know what I mean? And it was just like, okay, cool. And then it's like, I didn't need to take that on as reality because we talked about it. Right. So it's like, that's our job as parents. Like there are times when the TV can be a babysitter and then there are many more times where it can't. And we have to have the conversation and it can still be fun and all of that. But it's like, we have to talk about what we're watching. And then maybe,
I think
insecurities won't be so deep. Not that they won't be there, but maybe they won't be so deep.
And I think that, you know, my favorite thing that they say is histrionic personality disorder. Okay.
What is that?
I am going to firmly stand by my statement that a lot of this perfectionism and all this stuff is exactly what you said. It comes from the affirmations that the parents give, right? Oh, you're a beautiful princess. Honey, you have a smudge on your face. Oh, is that a zit? Oh, it looks terrible. You know, what we pour into our children is very, very important. And these movies need to be said point blank, period. This is make believe. This is not real. This is not how life goes. This conversation doesn't have to happen while they're 2, 3, 4, 5, right? No. You let them enjoy it. You let them enjoy the music. You let them enjoy all of it. And then when they get old enough and you get to start having those deeper conversations with them, because at 9 years old, my daughter has much different conversations with me than she did before.
Right.
I am very proud of her for expressing herself, even if sometimes it makes me want to smack her. But it's cool. It just means that we have an open line of communication and I can be like, don't be hard on yourself because of this, because she does. She's a dancer. So there are perfection standards in that, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, not necessarily that it's coming from any source other than herself, but I have to tell her, honey, do you think that people know how to do a Shirley Temple step when they see it on the screen? Because she was learning distantly and she was supposed to learn this step and she couldn't get it. And I'm like, girl, get out of here. I'm like, there's no, I can't get this. I'm looking at it with you. I took dance before. I don't know how to help you. I'm trying, but it's not working.
Right.
Stop being so hard on yourself.
Right.
It's okay not to get it until it's the 150th time or the 2000th time that you do it. You know, they say, I can't remember how many hours it is it takes for you to master something. And so we all have to learn to give ourselves breaks and have the right conversations at the right time. If you think your kid is believing too much about Cinderella or leave Cindy alone, poor girl went through
it. I know, poor thing. We picking on
let's see, who can we pick on? Let's pick on Dory. Now, if you think Dory is a problem in your child's life, then we talk about Dory and the fact that she's just a forgetful fish. You know what I mean?
Right.
And, you know, Dory has her shortcomings, but Dory is a good person. Dory loves her people. Dory is a lost soul half the time. You know, these are the conversations that you can have with your kids, and you don't have to scare them, and you don't have to tell them not to love the wonder, because I think that it leads to make-believe. You know, and for them to create their own worlds and their own ideas, like my daughter and Hamilton. Like,
yeah. Oh my God.
I've seen Hamilton. So many versions of Hamilton come out of my daughter that I'm sick of Hamilton. love you, Lin-Manuel Miranda, if you ever hear this, but I don't want to ever see another thing about Hamilton in my house.
I'm actually going to watch it tomorrow. But anyway,
It's fabulous.
So much. And I
do too.
I don't like it too at the same time. But
yes,
that's a whole nother conversation.
See, someday we'll be talking about Hamilton and our mixed feelings after it all. Because, you know, it's right. There.
Yeah.
So I just think we should wrap this up a little bit here and just talk about, do we really have a problem with princesses, or are we making problems of princesses?
I think we have a problem with what we think princesses represent.
Yeah.
I don't if think you it's necessarily believe, the princess itself, themselves.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. I think that if we believe that princesses are helpless, need to be rescued, and have nothing better to do but get married, then yes, there's a problem.
Right. But I think Disney has done a good job in recent years of creating princesses that do not fit that mold and that are not... Yeah. Snow White and Cinderella and Aurora.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they've done a really good job of showing a different kind of a princess. And not even just a princess, but different kinds of female leads.
Yeah.
You know, that give us a variety so that we can watch them all and see, you know what, there's not one kind of a princess. I think that, you know, Disney can be problematic themselves, but I will give them that. They have given us variety and many things to look at and to consider as it pertains to princesses.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Disney.
Yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, I think that I'm going to go with Adrian and say thanks. Thank you, Disney, for all the wonder. I loved it all. Even the stuff that's mildly not acceptable anymore. Or straight out not acceptable, like
pretty much not acceptable at all.
Yeah, but I own all them movies that I ain't supposed to watch, but that's okay. It's cool.
It's okay, because you know what, it's still in the end part of the fantasy and part of the wonder and part of the charm of Disney. Like, we still have to give it that, as long as we acknowledge, you know, like, where it's problematic, I think we're good.
That's what me and my mom have many, many conversations about. We talk about not whitewashing history.
Oh, okay. Jesus, yes.
And when you talk about not whitewashing history, you have to understand that you also probably shouldn't be so quick to be like, put this in a vault and don't ever show it again.
Right.
How about we don't put that in the vault? How about we discuss the problem?
Yeah, let's just talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about why the crows in Dumbo are racist or perceived as making Black folks look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it. Let's not pretend it didn't happen, because again, Disney is a time capsule, and I'm grateful for that, because we have gone from the early 1900s to the mid 2000s with Disney and learned a lot about our whole culture.
Yes.
Because in some senses, now I know what people who watch Dumbo were thinking, or were watching Pinocchio were thinking, or, mm-hmm. you know, I get a sense of what people were like at that time in history. So let's not do it. Let's not make princesses a problem. Let's not make these movies the problem. Let's instead educate ourselves.
Yeah.
To be better humans.
And really, yeah. And to understand that, like, our culture is the problem, right?
Yeah.
Like, wow. Our culture produced these movies. So if you have a problem with the movie, you got a problem with the culture. And that's really where it is, right?
So that's where the rubber meets the road.
That's
right.
It, you know?
So, yeah. So I think, listeners, what we're saying is, if you want to watch your princess movies, watch your princess movies. If you want your daughters to watch the princess movies, watch them too with them. Answer their questions as they get older. You know, just be a parent. And yes. Know that all media, princesses, TikTok, ugh. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, are all influencing your children. Yeah. Okay? And so not knowing what they're doing and not being a part of the discussion should not be an option for you.
Not at all.
So
not at all. And also don't make the mistake of waiting for your kids to ask you. Because
yeah.
They will sometimes and they won't other times. So it's very important to be proactive and start the conversation, you know, when
yes.
you feel like it to be started, and then they'll ask you and whatever, but don't be afraid to start the conversation.
Yeah. So this was our granola crunchy Berkeley version of
yes.
Princess Problems. Okay.
Yes.
Now you get a taste of people who have grown up in California with our culture.
Yes. And we recorded this whole podcast while hugging trees, just so you know.
Yes. I hugged a tree just today as I ate a granola bar.
We're so mad.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's been a wonderful new episode of Single Mommy Fabulous. We're excited that it's season 2. And Woo. As always, stay fabulous.
Stay fabulous.
And we'll see you next time.
Adios.